This is Tractor Tuesday Live, hosted by sixth-generation Nebraska farmer and Tractor Tuesday founder Zach Bosley and Scott Anderson, owner of New Age Ag Supply. Join them each week as they sit down with farmers, innovators, dealers, and creators who are enhancing the culture within agriculture, right here on Tractor Tuesday Live.
Hey, Zach Bosley here. Scott Anderson, as usual, with New Age Ag Supply. We're live again. It's actually a Wednesday. So make sure, if you're not already logged in and subscribed to Tractor Tuesday, get the notification icon going so you know when we're going to go live, because frankly, I have no idea when we're going live next, but it'll be one of these days. But we're really excited. Today's a big one for me because one of our very first farm athletes, I mean, she's the real deal, folks. Marissa Porsche is on the show today. So Marissa, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Yeah, doing really good. And, you know, we had the NIL initiative, you know, clear back in 24. Before we get into more of your background, I don't remember, how did you learn about our NIL and how did you learn about Tractor Tuesday?
I had a lot of people reach out to me. I think they heard you guys on the radio, possibly an ad for it. And okay. I have a lot of family that listen to the radio 24/7 to the tractor and the work pickups and everything. So, and my dad and my brothers and other people I know reach out to me and say that it would be a good opportunity.
No, that's great. And the initial NIL initiative went really well for us, you know, and we're really grateful for, you know, really you in a big way, because you went above and beyond. And it was really interesting to me. You know, I'm too tall for the game and I wasn't strong enough to be a heavyweight. But a lot of my family was really into wrestling. My father-in-law was a collegiate wrestler at now what's called UNK. You know, my dad and a lot of other family members were all big into wrestling. But the coolest thing is about you, you know, I'm really familiar with your area, number one, but you were really bringing something to the surface that nobody had ever really seen before in women's wrestling. But before we get into all that, do you just want to tell the audience again kind of who you are, where you're from, and then what type of operation your family has? Would you say you're from Hoxie, or is it, or would you say you're more from the Colby area, or how would you describe that?
I would say Hoxie. That's where I went to high school and everything. But we actually live closer to Seldom, which has like a few hundred people in a very, very small town. They only have a grade school in there and they co-op with another town. Mm-hmm. But Hoxie is where I grew up and finished all my schooling through.
Okay, gotcha. And then what type of, you know, I know probably a little bit of livestock going on and maybe some corn and beans and everything else. But yeah, just maybe talk about your family and your operation.
So we run a cow-calf operation. So we keep all our own heifers, cows in the herd along with our bulls. And then we keep the calves till they're about a year old before we sell them as yearlings. And again, keep our own replacement heifers. And then as my dad would put it, we grow everything to feed cattle. So corn, wheat, occasionally soybeans, and a lot of hay. We grow a lot of alfalfa and oats, and then swath, rake, and bale those to sell as well.
Yeah. And from all my Nebraska buddies, what she's saying there, they actually work. And, you know, a lot of the corn bean guys, you know, I always pick on the Iowa folks because they just mow ditches, but you know, where I'm at in Nebraska, we're always, you know, irrigating and doing things like that. So, but it's just, it's so much legwork. And I think that's what I've always found, is there's so many great student athletes that come from these farm operations because, you know, number one, your cow-calf, if you don't show up that day, you know, you're keeping track and keeping a lot of things alive. So it's...
How many head are you running?
Yeah.
That would be a great question for my father. I do a lot of the legwork. I feed the cows and take care of the calves and all that stuff. But my two older brothers, they also wrestled, went through high school, college wrestling, and they're both back on the farm helping with it. So they've also in the recent years bought in some heifers that are now part of the herd cattle. So it's all kind of mixed together right now. But
yeah, yeah. Seems a little bit sizable in theory. I've seen some of your posts and, you know, you're out there, you know, working the cows and everything. And then usually blessing the audience with some Tractor Tuesday propaganda and paraphernalia, but you know, it's been awesome to see. But yeah, you know, as far as when did you get into wrestling, how young were you, and what did that kind of start like for you?
So I actually didn't start till I was a sophomore in high school, and that was the first year that it was sanctioned in Kansas as a real sport. So although I practiced with the guys in the wrestling room, I got to compete against women, which was great. Otherwise, my dad was a high school coach for very, very many years, and my brothers did it from the time they were young. So I've always been around this sport. I think I spent my birthday at state wrestling like every single year growing up. So I always had like my foot in the door with this sport, but I didn't start till I was a sophomore in high school. And the sec I stepped on the mat, I just never stepped back off. I was in there year round, which really helped grow me as an athlete so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting.
Were you doing camps, or how did you manage to be practicing year round?
Well, like I said, my dad was a high school coach, so I had a lot of access to the wrestling room, but we have like a 3 month long season during high school, obviously. And then as soon as that would end, we'd have some postseason tournaments. So we continue practicing. Whoever would come in, you know, it just might be me and like another couple guys, but we would at least get the most practices we could in. And my older brothers had a lot of help. They would come in and practice with me. I could drag them in out of retirement all the time to practice with me. And there's always postseason tournaments. So in college, women wrestle freestyle, which isn't the normal like folk style that everyone wrestles in high school and that men wrestle in college. But that's what everyone wrestles in the summertime. So as soon as high school season was over, we'd immediately start training freestyle and Greco to wrestle in the summer. And same thing, wrestled out all summer long. And then we'd hit some preseason tournaments before high school season started. So it's just all year round practicing training.
Yeah, very cool.
Do you see yourself transitioning possibly into like MMA or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or something like that in the future? Any interest in that area?
A lot of wrestlers do. However, I've dealt with a couple different shoulder injuries that aren't something I'm willing to take into like more competition. And I'm really hoping to transition into coaching after this, actually. So I'm not looking into MMA or UFC or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely a different route. And that's what's unfortunate with a lot of these, you know, sports. It's just, you know, you almost become displaced once you get done with college. And you spent so much of your life, you know, training and working for it, you know, and obviously your wealth of knowledge from, you know, your dad's experience and your older brothers, you know, beating you up a little bit on the mat, and then ultimately what you've done on the mat. So it's just, that's a cool perspective. I guess that's a great question. You know, what's next? But most importantly, you know, what happened? Because when you got out of high school, you know, now all of a sudden it's a college sport and the NCAA recognizes it. And I'm probably going to make a mistake, but I thought you went to Chadron State originally. Is that correct?
I did. Originally, I went to Chadron State. They have a great rangeland management program there, which is what really brought me to that college.
Mm. But the program was brand new, right? When you went there as a freshman, or did they have a season under their belt already?
They had a full season under their belt with like, I think they only had like 15, 17 wrestlers or something though.
Okay.
And some of them were like walk-ons I'd never wrestled before. So my class was the first like big class of wrestlers to go in there that year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't remember the whole story, but I guess what was the key catalyst that brought you back, you know, home to Kansas and over to Fort Hays State?
It was actually my coach. So my coach at Chadron, I sat down with him and he said, "Hey, I took the job at Fort Hays and I'd love if you would transfer back there with me and start the program." Knowing that I was local to the area and I knew a lot of people in the wrestling community. So it's kind of no brainer for me. I love the community in Northwest Kansas of wrestling and everything. And I knew they would be super supportive of it. Plus I get to be back home closer to the farm and closer to my family.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, so far, I mean, I know you've had some injuries, but you know, with your career at Fort Hays, you know, how's that all been going and, how's it kind of turned in for this season for you?
This season's been really fun because in my opinion, it's our first like real run at a season because we have more upperclassmen than we do just freshmen. Okay. The first year I was here, we didn't have a real program. So we all got to redshirt and travel ourselves and pay our like entry fees and all that stuff.
Okay.
Which was a good experience. And then last year we just had a lot of incoming freshmen. So it's a really new team. But this year we do have some amazing incoming freshmen that have done super well, but we also have a good amount of girls to set expectations and standards. So it's been a really fun season this year with an established team.
And I guess I should have asked you right away, but what are you majoring in? And then what class are you in this year?
I'm majoring in ag business and I'm senior this year. So I'll be graduating this spring.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So do you, I think from what I saw, I just Googled around real quick, but the big tournament now, is it in Iowa this year? And it looked interesting from what I saw, but how are they doing, you know, between basically your guys' conference and then what's the next step look like basically to wrap a season up for women's wrestling?
So since women's wrestling is so new, our school is in the RMAC, but there's like no other RMAC school. So we don't get to have all the fun like conference duels and stuff, but we do have regionals coming up in a few weeks and they take top three from those. And that's what travels up to Iowa for nationals.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. And what are the chances and what's the rest of your team look like? Do you got some serious competitors that are hoping to qualify or if you can shine a little bit of info? Yeah.
Some pretty good girls on our team. Like I said, a lot of them are a little younger. They're freshmen, but they haven't done super well. They're super good in high school, placing at all the national stuff in the summers. And our 180 pounder, Isabella Renfro, she's been doing great this season. I think she's currently second in the nation, but she's just been killing it on and off the mat as a team leader and in rankings, obviously, as well. So although it is a tough regionals for us, because we have McKendree and Colorado Mesa, which are both just really well. So that kind of, in a lot of the weights, takes the top couple places to go to nationals. But I think we have a good contending to take quite a few girls this year.
Okay. Yeah, very cool. And with the shoulders, did you have a surgery in the off season or how's your health been this year?
Last year, I'm medical redshirted. I got surgery on my labrum and my shoulder. So that was a long recovery. I had let it go quite a few years before I got surgery on it. So the recovery was pretty intensive, but the beginning of the season was a little rough getting back into it and everything. But I definitely hit a stride the past month in wrestling and have gotten back to where it's working better. And I am finally able to tie everything together to win matches again.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, from when you started your collegiate career, have you stayed in the same weight class or how has that flowed with, you know, as you've matured and gotten stronger?
Yeah, I came in at 155 the past, I think the first 2 years is 155 and then they redid all the weight classes. So I'm actually 160 now. So technically like stayed in the same weight class, but the weight classes did all switch around. It definitely was an adjustment though, like coming to college and lifting and being just in the college lifestyle and stuff.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's really demanding on the schedule. And then, you know, especially with weight classes and trying to cut weight and everything else, I couldn't imagine, you know, I was always the opposite, trying to gain weight. But here we got a question that just kind of similar kind of popped up, but how does Marissa feel about going up and down with weight classes? You know, I mean, some of the obvious, you know, you can feel more powerful, you know, potentially you can lose some strength and some power going down, but how has that process been for you as an athlete?
So in high school, I definitely cut a lot more weight, but then coming into college, it's such a long season. I mean, we start competing in November and we go all the way through March. So that's a really long time to be like killing your body. So I have found out, and along with talking to other athletes in college, that it works a lot better to wrestle at a weight class that is more close to your natural body weight, which like I still cut weight, but it's very close to my body weight. I'm not like super malnourished and stuff because one, you have college classes. It's really hard to do all the work you need to do for those when you can't function because you're not eating enough. And I do feel stronger. Like having a lot of muscle is going to be more beneficial than cutting so much weight that I lose all my muscle and can't wrestle properly. So I do think that especially in college, it's so important to wrestle close to your body weight and not try and kill yourself for a weight class that you're not going to succeed at because you don't feel well.
What's your diet like? What sort of diet are you following?
So I actually eat at the calf because I have been in the dorms for the past 4 years. So that's something I've had to work with, but luckily we have a lot of opportunities. Like they have hamburgers or they just have like ground beef or chicken. So I obviously prioritize protein, which is what's all big in society now anyways. But I also think it's super important to have a balanced diet more than just like, I don't think you should be cutting out any food sources, especially as an athlete, because you need all of those. So I always prioritize protein and then I just like try and build meals around that, like adding any kind of vegetables I can have, I still eat carbs because I have to have fuel for, you know, we have a couple hour long practices and lift and all the other work we do. So obviously I'm not eating a bunch of Snickers and pop and whatnot, but I do think it's important to have a balanced diet. So I still have all the food groups in there, protein, carbs, and fats.
Yeah. You might want to watch our episode with Sean Baker on the carnivore diet.
Yeah, I have seen a lot about that, but man,
I've been on it for over a year.
A long way. Really? You like it?
Yeah. No fruits, no vegetables, no carbs, nothing for over a year. No coffee, no caffeine, nothing. Just
Water. I really do like my coffee. So,
well, and you can see me, I'm slamming it right now. We had another newborn last week, and we'll let her sleep all night, you know, once we can confirm she's going up in weight. But until then, my wife's waking her up and, you know, feeding, and then, you know, that I'm waking up and then dragging butt here today. But, you know, I didn't want to say this to Dr. Baker or even Scott, because I'm, you know, I'm kind of afraid of this guy here. He's just so jacked. But for me, you know, performance wise, you know, more of a macronutrient diet always seemed to benefit me. You know, because it just I love protein more than, you know, the average person, obviously. But, you know, it's when I switched and really followed macros with the strength coach, it was shocking just how much better I felt, you know, and then even the recovery for me. But I never really had done anything like carnivore, you know, and we're talking a long time ago. But I mean, I was probably doing 240 carbs a day and then maybe 210 grams of protein, you know, and it just, and I'm kind of more in that camp in theory, but it's just what I like about things like carnivore is it's just, it's easier to follow, you know, when you're tracking macros and trying to micromanage, you know, every little part of your diet, you know, the next thing you know, I'm eating ice cream and drinking a little bit too much and eating a pizza at midnight because, you know, I'm basically just off the rails. It doesn't matter, you know, and I'm not disciplined enough like Scott is, but I'm hear people's opinions. Yeah.
I'm getting 400 to 500 grams of protein a day, and I'm 170 pounds. Jeez. And my recovery time, like I don't remember the last time I was sore unless I did like a really intense leg day. Then my legs would get sore. But as far as upper body or anything else, I don't even remember the last time I've been sore. It's just instant recovery with that much protein.
Yeah, I just never really stuck with it or was really with it when I was working out, you know, so I guess I'll never know. But, you know, I'm sure your dad, your family, everybody's going to most of your meets then. You're right in your own backyard.
Yeah, it is. We actually just had senior night a couple Sundays ago, and my whole family was able to make it along with, I coach all summer long for Team Kansas for like their national teams and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of the girls that are local to the area were able to travel down since it was a Sunday night. So a lot of them came down and supported me and some of the other girls that coach with me. So it was super special to have so many people there. My family support me along with just seeing how supportive the community is of our program. And me and some of the other girls was really special. So I do love being in my own backyard, basically.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And so when's your next meet? I guess I haven't dug into the schedule yet. We need to try to follow you a little bit closer as we wrap up the season and really get into some exciting times.
Midland is coming up this weekend in Fremont, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then regionals is in a few weeks. And then I don't know the exact dates. And then nationals. Yeah. I take it week by week a lot of times with just tends to be a busy schedule with school and everything else. So I do tend to take it week by week.
And I've never asked even, you know, folks in my family, but how's the scouting side of wrestling? Do you really try to get the whole dossier on your, you know, likely opponent? Or what's the thought basically to prepare for, you know, if you know who your opponent is going to be?
A lot of people do. They like to watch old videos and be able to see exactly what they're going to do. That's never been my thing because I have the mindset of I know how to wrestle and I have my style of wrestling. And it doesn't matter who I'm going to go step out across the mat from. I'm going to wrestle the same way I know how to wrestle and my same style. I can't suddenly have a new style of wrestling and a new way of wrestling just because I know how the other person wrestles. So I know some girls like to do it and it really benefits them. But personally, I like to not overthink who I'm wrestling so much because I have to go wrestle one way or another and I can only switch up so much. So,
well, and when they start the match, are you actively thinking or is it, do you just kind of finish And then you think back like, wow, that all just happened. Because I hear two different answers, you know, and even from my own experience, things are a little bit different. Me, you know, usually, okay, the quarter's over, or, you know, in wrestling could be a little bit different of a setup. And then you think, wow, I just did this, you know, and basically would always just blank out of even the thought process. But wrestling is so back and forth and combative, you know, what is your mind and where does it take you during a match?
A lot of it is muscle memory. Like the moves I hit, I have thousands of repetitions on them between practice and competition. But I was always told growing up by my coach, my dad, that you have to win each position. So I can't like go into the match being like, I don't go into the match being like, I'm going to get to this move. I go into the match thinking I'm going to get to this tie. And then once I'm in that tie, like go from there. So just focusing like very micro, like almost like seconds at a time, you know, it's only a 6-minute match. So being, I'm going to win this position and the next, whatever next position I get in, I'm trying to win that position, whether it's a hand fight or finishing a shot or whatever. I take it pretty small steps at a time in a match.
And I should have asked this earlier, but, you know, you mentioned freestyle, Greco-Roman, you know, for the audience out there that may not follow wrestling that closely, I guess, can you explain briefly, you know, each of the main styles and again, what, you know, you're doing in women's wrestling compared to what the men are doing?
So folk style is what most people are probably more common with. Yeah. That's college and high school for men. So the main differences between that and freestyle is we still only have 2-point takedowns in freestyle. And once you get a takedown, you have like 10, 15 seconds to work on top. And then they bring you back up. There's no like escapes or anything like that. And while you're on top, you're trying to get a turn of some sort or pin them. But if you break 90 degrees, then that's 2 points and you can continue to do that. So we do a lot of like what they call leg laces. So you can get your 2 points in gut wrenches. So that's the main difference. We also only have a 10-point tech, which is super nice. We don't have to get all 15 points. So it tends to move a little faster because like I said, you can't spend the whole period on top and bottom. They bring you up pretty fast. And then Greco, it's all upper body. You can't use your legs and you can't touch their legs. So you can like do a foot block, but the refs are pretty sticky on that one. Like if you pick up your foot at all, they'll caution you for that. Otherwise you can't grab their legs. It's all upper body. So it's a lot more throws. That's where you see all the like really fun, big throws is in Greco.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't honestly know the whole difference there. But I'm a little ignorant on all things sports anymore with my advanced age. But I guess, so what's the plan next? I mean, I know hopefully you finish strong this season and we're definitely going to be rooting for you and your teammates. You know, I know you're graduating this May, or have you already wrapped that?
Yeah, I graduate this May and then I'm planning on staying in Kansas. Like I said, I love the wrestling community in Kansas and I'm super involved in it already. And I've had a couple different like high school and JUCO coaches reach out to me because they're wanting to, there's a couple of JUCOs that are trying to start women's programs. So they need someone to come in and start it. And then some of the really big high schools, they're trying to completely separate the men's and women's programs, like not quite separate facilities, but separate practice times and all that stuff, just because there's so many kids on each side.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to go coach next year. And then it's just kind of up in the air on if I'm going to teach while coaching at a high school or just get another job in the community.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a delicate dance there. Do you want to get into postgraduate work? You know, and then obviously the farming roots are definitely strong with you. And it's always in the back of, at least when I was younger, my mind, you know, the goal was always to try to get back to the farm. And it's just, I guess you just got to follow your heart. And I think that's always the right answer. But I don't know.
What's your record so far?
Yeah, good question.
What'd you say?
What is your record?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know that type of stuff off the top of my head, especially for like all of college. I know that a couple weeks ago I won both my matches, and that the tournament before that I went 4-2 maybe.
Okay.
And that's as far back as I know. So
yeah,
I think I just tend to look ahead, and things like rankings and all that kind of stuff just hasn't ever made a big difference to me. So, you know, maybe at the end of the season, I'll look back and reflect on some of the statistics of how I wrestled and all that stuff. But during season, I'm usually pretty focused on just like the next step.
Well, and that's what's cool about wrestling is, you know, in your sport, any girl can get it at any time, you know, and you can really just flip the script on somebody and get the pin. And, you know, really the rankings and the records don't really mean much. Before we let you go, Marissa, you know, we'll definitely be tracking everything that you're doing. But do you have any special shout outs or any socials you want to plug or anything else with any other NIL deals you want to talk about?
Like I talked about earlier, I got to wrestle year round in high school and now I coach in the summers, and we have Next Level Training Academy in Hoxie that I help coach at, and my brother runs it. So that's a really great thing. We get a lot of area kids in there. So anyone in the Northwest Kansas area looking for training, we do that kind of year round, but mostly in the summers, it really picks up. And otherwise, my family and the farm, man, they've got me where I'm at. They've taught me all the life lessons that have gotten me this far in life. And I just really appreciate everything my family's done for me and their continual support no matter what I do.
Well, hey, don't be a stranger, Marissa. We need to get you back on here, especially once the season wraps. And I've got a few other great ideas I think that you could be a big part of if you're open to it. But I guess for all that, we'll let you sign off for now. And yeah, please keep us posted and we'll be monitoring the rest of your season.
Okay. Yep. And thank you guys for everything you've done too. It's been great doing all the interviews and really getting to get the word out about women's wrestling the past few years has been great.
No, and it's, and really seriously, you've been, you know, and our next guest coming up, Stoney, have been awesome. You know, you've been great brand ambassadors. You know, you did a ton of interviews. You didn't have to do so much legwork for Tractor Tuesday, but you know, you're the real deal. And I think that's the coolest thing about you is, you know, we got a real farm kid, and I hate to call you a kid, you know, I know you're an adult now as well, but you know, you grew up the way that Scott and I did, and we're really, I mean, more than impressed with all the things that you've done, and you really got your head on your shoulders. So I think hats off to your mom and dad and your brothers for keeping you tough and getting your work ethic to where it needs to be. And there's bright things in your future. So we're excited to see where it takes you. So
thank you.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to you soon, Marissa. Thanks again for hopping on.
Yep.
Yeah, really interesting gal. She's really the real deal, but somebody else that is as well, our friend Stoney Buell. Stoney, how are you, man?
I am good, man. Trying to stay warm here in this weather. Luckily, I'm not on the dairy farm anymore, having to take care of cattle and everything, but walking to class in my parka, trying to stay warm.
Yeah, so what's the weather been like? Did you guys get hit with all that nasty stuff last week? Or?
Not as much as social media and kind of what the weather said. You know, I thought it was going to be apocalypse, but we probably got a good 6 inches. And, you know, it, real windy, so kind of the wind chill coming down. So making sure to start my truck early. And I don't know if it's just West Lafayette, but they don't like to come plow neighborhoods. So I was able – I still drive a four-wheel drive truck, so pulling people out and just kind of staying inside.
Doing the thing, you know, and I guess we kind of missed the opportunity to introduce you, but, you know, you've been a big part of the Farm Athletes Initiative, even wearing the FA hat today. It's looking sharp on you, man. We got some camo gear here. Looks like that might be up you and Scott's alley, but this is Scott Anderson. He owns New Age Ag Supply, and he's been a big benefit to what we're doing here at Tractor Tuesday as well. But, you know, Stoney was in our first group of NIL athletes. And I think we had 20, 21, 22 guys and gals that hopped on. But Stoney's really, just as Marissa did, made it a big push to help spread the word of what we're doing at Tractor Tuesday. But, you know, interestingly enough, you know, Stoney's really been dominating. And how's your season going this year?
Real good. So I was able, right now I'm ranked 20th and 24th in all D1. So, you know, still climbing. Don't really like to look at that number, but I think I'm right around 12-5. So doing good. I went out to Vegas and I was able to place at that national tournament. And then, you know, over summer, I was able to the U23s nationals. I was able to all American there. So making a lot of jumps and, you know, kind of realizing this is my last year ever lacing shoes up competitively. I think, you know, you really take stuff for granted and you set goals for yourself and, you know, each practice you go into thinking, you know, you're not going to get many more. I think now it's just when I step out on the mat, I kind of start to feel that. So I'm more free this year and I feel like I'm getting the best version of Stoney Buell there's ever been. Yeah. And, you know, you're kind of seeing that in my wrestling. So it's been a really good season. And, you know, we're halfway through Big Ten duels and I'm 2-2 right now in duels, you know, losing to some top guys, but, you know, just got to finish strong with the last four Big Ten duels.
And dude, I'm so sorry. Are you 180 or what are you wrestling at this year?
Oh, no, I'm 157.
So. You're 157. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, have you always been at that weight class or through your collegiate career? How's that shaped for you?
So the past 4 years, I've actually been at 165. Mm. So kind of really took on the wrestling role. And the kid that I've known for my whole life, Joey Blaze, he wrestled 157 the past 2 years. And he decided to hit a growth spurt and basically got up to, you know, 180, 185 pounds and filled out. And basically we just made the switch and flip-flop. So now he's at 65, I'm at 57. Okay. I think that was also one of the big things that's good for this year is, you know, you kind of have to give some things up. And this year I'm always thinking about wrestling because, you know, it's my diet. It's what I'm doing after weigh-ins and really keeps me on my feet and being detailed in every little thing. So it's been
good. And it's, you know, I saw some images last year and some videos. We'd try to catch up on highlights of you. Mm-hmm. To me, you know, not really knowing much, but you really look strong this year. And do you think if you just cut down on the body fat or what is it? You just, and even you look a little bit more explosive this season.
So that was like a big thing we were going into and kind of me making the decision to go down a weight class was, you know, I want to be just as strong. So we get DEXA scans. So basically, you know, you lay there and it's telling you your bone mass, your fat-free mass. So basically over summer, it was a lot more just kind of body weight, you know, still kind of pushing some weight here and there and just kind of working on that explosive power and just kind of getting more flexible. And it was crazy. I was actually able to, you know, probably lose overall like 10 pounds, but I was able to lose more fat mass and gain muscle mass going down a weight class. So looking lean, and actually I got stronger going down a weight class, which my strength coach took a lot of credit for and was super happy with.
I already know what Scott's question is going to be, Scott, but go ahead and ask him.
I just wanted to know what's your diet like?
It's very bland. You know, it's a lot of chicken and rice, usually. And then we have a new dining hall at Purdue. Huge shout out to the pad. It's been game changer. And I usually just get a little chicken wrap there and they prepare that for you. And then they have fruit there. And, you know, here and there, you know, after a weigh-in, you know, you get a burger and you have some French fries and some ice creams because we're all human and we need to have that. And our dietitian actually likes to preach that because, you know, you can't really just be totally locked in. I mean, you can, but then you're not having fun. And at the end of the day, it is a sport and there is the time to where you have to do things right with basically the chicken rice and 90% of the time. But, you know, every once in a while, it's okay to have some ice cream and do the right thing. Mainly just chicken and rice, you know, getting my protein needs, my carb needs, my fat needs. And, you know, it's just kind of very bland. But,
but I mean, sometimes very bland works really well, you know, and it takes the thought. And I'm not an anxious person at all. You kind of know me better than a lot of these athletes. But, you know, really, it's the anxiety isn't a thing. But when you simplify the diet, it's one less thing to think about.
And exactly.
It's easier to follow.
Yeah. And, you know, coming from a dairy, you know, farm, you know, basically your athletes, so your cattle, they're eating the same mixture every time and they all love it and they're still producing it. So kind of just thinking it in that perspective. And then also if I can simplify and basically make it the same every time, you know, nothing's going to change and it just makes it easier. So I do the same thing with like my warm up, you know, just what I do. It's just trying to find that routine and then trying to stay as close to that routine as possible. And I'm going to get the same result I want.
Yeah. And
what sort of workout routine are you doing outside of practice? Are you doing like free weights, resistance training, explosive training? Like what sort of stuff do you do outside of practice?
So that's, you know, every once now and then I'll go on a run, but usually it's all through Jason Pilar and what we have to do. So it's a lot of explosive work. So luckily in our weight room, we have like gym awares. So basically it's going to tell you how fast you're moving the bar. So it's a lot of Olympic work and a lot of like fast twitch motions. Mm-hmm. So like we'll do, you know, snatches, we'll do, they're called jammer rows. So like on your squat, the bar is able to like flow out. So like we'll really do explosive push and pulls and just kind of real fast twitch. Cause like obviously you need to be strong in wrestling, but it's really those short 5 seconds where you explode. So it's a lot of unique workouts that you might see at Planet Fitness on the new year, but it's crazy. And Jason Pilar does such a good job with it. And, you know, he really has it down to a science, and he'll meet us. Like, obviously I'm kind of one of the older guys on the team now. So, you know, he works with our trainer and our coaches, and how hard practice was, that'll determine our lift. And then, you know, if we're kind of beat up here in the knee, okay, we'll do this instead, or we'll do a belt squat, or, you know, we'll do leg press instead of just some sort of squat. So really getting it down to a science and taking care of us. So it's just been amazing.
You know, and as far as recovery, do you guys have any tricks up your sleeve at Purdue, or what are you guys doing to try to recover? Because I know there's a lot of wear and tear on those parts.
Yeah, I actually got in a cold tub today. It wasn't the water trough that I used out back in our backyard a couple times, but
yeah,
you know, we got a great facility, so we got a cold and a hot tub. So I did a little bit of contrast there, where it's 5 minutes cold, five hot, and then finishing cold. And then every once in a while, I'll do some dry needling, which makes you really sore, but that also feels really good. And then I'm getting cupping down, and then I meet with a chiropractor once a week, and then we get a massage usually once a week. So they really take care of us. And I think that's a big thing where athletes lack, you know, when you want to be great. I mean, just for an example, you look at LeBron James, and he's in year 23, and what he just did in Chicago is insane. But, you know, if he hasn't taken recovery just as big as his training, then, you know, he can't do any of that. And that's something I really picked up in college, because I feel like high school, you know, you're still young, you can recover fast. But once I got to college and really understood, like, oh, you know, I feel so much better. You know, you're going through a whole college season, especially Big Ten, you're going to get beat up. So really taking advantage of these people that are here to help me, and, you know, just so I can feel my best.
Have you ever tried hyperbaric?
I have not. I really, you know, I'm big into UFC, and I see them talk about it, and I see some kids do reviews and how 1 hour in there is basically 12 hours of being outside. So it's something I'd look into and maybe one day be able to try, but I have not been able to, no.
Yeah, you know, maybe not during the season, but maybe when you get wrapped up, you know, dabble in that a little bit. I've been playing those games for about 20 years off and on, and dude, I love it. And even my wife's breast milk production, actually, I mean, it'll go up a little bit. I mean, it's just an oxygen-rich environment is all it is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I whine a little bit at first when they pressurize. It's a little bit uncomfortable for a guy like me. But, you know, and I missed it. I haven't been following you too closely this season. I'm kind of in my busy season, but have you guys already had a duel with Nebraska in the Big Ten season?
Yeah, we actually, that was our first Big Ten duel.
Okay.
So we were out there, and, you know, there's a lot of close matches, and I wrestled the defending national champ, and it was our third time wrestling. We were 1-1, and basically got a little hustled a position, and he threw me right to my back, kind of baited me to it, and he ended up getting the fall. But I, you know, I think there's a lot of mutual respect there, and we'll probably end up seeing each other again at Big Tens. And it was a good duel. There's a lot of close one score, two score matches, but, you know, they're super good team, super disciplined, and, you know, they walked away with it. But,
you know, obviously in Nebraska, we're just sports crazy, you know, and people will allege because we have nothing else better to do. But, you know, honestly, what else is there to do? You know, I mean, you know, what else do you want to do? You want to live in some big city and you got 38, you know, coffee shops? Well, guess what? I got two good ones right down the street here in rural Nebraska. But how's the attendance look at Purdue? I mean, I know the Big Ten, you guys are the wrestling conference. Is it comparable to what we see in Lincoln?
I would say not is comparable. I mean, you guys travel well. And, you know, I think it's really been a big turnaround recently. And we're like able to get a lot more people in seats, and just, we just wrestled Michigan State at home for our first home duel, really. And, you know, there's a good crowd, you know, it's a good environment. And then this coming weekend, we have Wisconsin in Mackey Arena, which Mackey is obviously known for the profound basketball.
Right.
And we already have 2,400 tickets sold. So
nice.
It should be a really good environment. And, you know, we're always trying to grow and kind of socialize and get more people to come out, but yeah, so this weekend should be one of our best ever.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we got to try to record that. And yeah, we just need to do a better job following you guys this season.
Right.
You know, we're just a little swamp. But, you know, what are you majoring in? I guess we didn't even ask you what your plans are with studies.
Yeah, I'm a general education major. So basically I plan on headed back to Dundee and, you know, live with my parents for a year. But I want to become either middle school or high school gym teacher.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of play dodgeball for a living and then end up opening my own wrestling club and gym and, you know, just kind of give back to the community that gave so much to me. And, you know, I have dads already calling me coach and basically dads asking like, you're coming back, right, to coach. So that kind of makes me feel good. And then my mom's been teaching for 30 years. And I think this is her last year. I mean, she's told me that the past 6 years, but I think this is actually her last year.
Okay.
So, you know, I know she'll be able to help. And then the assistant coach that came in my sophomore year in high school, he became the middle school gym teacher there. So he's going to be able to guide me and help me out a lot there. And then obviously I'll probably end up getting a brown Swiss heifer and trying to take her across the country and show again.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And this is something I don't know anything about, Stoney. Maybe you do. We had another question pop up, but you know, a real American freestyle, you know, never heard of it. Don't know anything about it. Maybe you could shine some light. Is that any interest to you? I know you follow UFC, but you know, do you have any dreams in the back of the head that, you know, maybe you could keep this wrestling or this combat sports lifestyle going?
Yeah. So actually our newest assistant coach, so Matt Ramos, who I was on team for 4 years with, and he is actually he's a real American freestyle wrestler. So he's wrestled twice on that promotion, and they're doing an amazing job with it, you know, trying to grow the sport, have that pro level, and you know, they're doing the right things. They're getting UFC fighters out wrestling. They're just getting older names coming back and wrestling, and they're listening to the people. They have the big gold belt, you know, they're doing interviews. They're doing kind of, you know, having them debate, having them talk, kind of building the trash talk, what people want to see.
Yeah.
And then they're having wrestling, and they didn't really change much. So I think it's awesome. I think if I was ever to continue, it would be a mixed martial arts kind of MMA. If I were, I kind of want to take a fight, you know, after season, just see if there's any love there. I don't know how much I'm going to like getting punched in the face, but you know, maybe I'll really like it. So, I think I'll definitely try and do it at least once and see if there's any love there. But I think my body would kind of love just for me to be a gym teacher, coach, farmer. So
yeah, no,
we'll see.
It's a lot of work. And I know how young were you when you got into wrestling?
Oh, I was 5. So, basically me and one of my good buddies, Ty Swiderski, he wrestles at Central Michigan. And then his other brother, Casey, who's at Oklahoma State. We just brought home a letter that said wrestling, and basically my parents, you know, thought it was an excuse to get me off the farm for 2 hours on a Tuesday and a Thursday. And
yeah,
you know, we fell in love, and then we said we wanted to get more interested. So we ended up going to the Dundee Wrestling Club, where Ryan Orson was able, you know, he had everybody, and we were in his basement wrestling, and basically really took off from there. So I was 5. So basically going on 18 years of what's been my life. So
did you have to taste blood at 5 to really get into it? Or what was that moment that just kind of locked you in? Like, this is it.
I mean, sometimes I kind of felt just like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, walking out on a mat and getting slammed a kid. And actually my first year, I never won a tournament, and I don't know what really thinking back, what made me want to do it. And then my second year I went out and basically pinned everybody in my first tournament, and I just kind of fell in love with it. And basically, as I kept growing, I just also enjoyed, because I would play football and, you know, you'd see someone give up and you're like, what are you doing? And, you know, in wrestling, I just knew it was on me. There's no fingers to point. I could always hold myself accountable to, you get what you earn. And I was like kind of relating it to show and dairy cattle, you know. I would always lose to my sister. And then, okay, I don't want to lose to my sister. There's no one else to blame but me working with my heifer. Right. So, you know, even though I've only beat my sister probably twice, but you know, it's just, there's no other finger to point at yourself. So you just kind of get to do the work and you get what you earn. And I really kind of like that aspect, is I control my own kind of destiny.
Well, you know, I grew up in the 80s, mind you. So, and it's what's so interesting, you know, my brother-in-law was a great wrestler. He ended up playing football in college instead of, you know, going the wrestling route, you know, but so I go to some of his kids' tournaments, and it's very similar to when I was growing up. It doesn't matter if it's the 80s, 90s, or now we're in the 20s. You know, what the hell happened, Scott? But, you know, kids are crying. And it's just because I think that's what, and it's always been that way in wrestling, because you're really putting yourself out there. You know, in an individual sport, you have a team, you know, when you get older and it's more organized. But, you know, you're really putting yourself out there. And it's just, there is no lying in wrestling. I guess if you're lying, you're losing. You know, you're on your back. So it's just, it's interesting, because there were so many, even these tough farm kids that, you know, I could probably point out that are cow calf guys and everything else, you know, they were on their back. They were crying right next to me. It was different for me, and I, not to throw myself in every story, but here we go. I had never wrestled before. I was in kindergarten. I was probably 5. didn't know what I was doing. My dad was a hell of a wrestler. So I just thought, hey, my older brother's doing it, standing out there like a tall idiot. And this kid just picked me up and threw me right into the score table. And so then the score sheet cut my leg open. And that's what I meant by the taste blood moment. And I looked down, and this is in the 80s, so we didn't wear Band-Aids or anything like that. But I looked down, and I saw the blood, and then that was the moment. And I never lost a match until I was a fifth grader. I lost by points. But, you know, sometimes a kid just needs that. And I think when you're not a farm kid and you don't really get that feedback from pushing livestock, you know, you're not really in this rough and tumble environment. I think that's your advantage, obviously, is, you know how to work with animals. They're very much unpredictable. You've got your panel, you're trying to steer them. Those sons of guns will do whatever the heck they want. And so you've got to be ready. You're on your toes. But how else would you correlate, you know, basically working livestock with wrestling?
You know, yeah. And it's basically, I would just say controlling all your uncontrollables. Like you said, you never know with livestock. You know, I've had heifers come into heat when showmanship and, you know, you get frustrated. Sweepstakes, I've had horses rear up. And, you know, that's kind of why I gave up listening to music for a warm up, because that's just one of those things where, okay, maybe your headphones are dead. You know, maybe your phone dies. Now, what are you thinking before you walk out there? And everyone says, you know, a lion doesn't listen to music before he hunts.
Yeah.
So kind of just controlling everything I can control. And, you know, if stuff goes sideways, I feel like it's always important to reground yourself, you know, still be in the moment, you know, just kind of knowing you can control the next 10 seconds. And, you know, if you win enough 10 seconds, you're going to end up winning the match. And kind of relating that to livestock, you know, okay, you know, your cow's in heat, you know, just 10 seconds, get her set up as fast as she can, you know, just pay attention to the judge. The judge may see that your heifer's in heat, and, you know, he's going to give you leeway if you're doing everything right and you're doing the right thing. And, you know, on the hot days, I showed pigs too. And, you know, sometimes your pig just gets that little zoomy and wants to run through the pen. You know, you don't have to chase after it. Just keep controlling what you can control. And I think that's just the biggest thing in sports and livestock, 4-H, is just kind of focus on what you can control. The rest will kind of guide itself out, and then just, you know, be the best version of yourself.
You know, and you just said something I never thought of, you know, with all the AirPods and everything else, you know, you guys aren't walking around with a tape deck like we were. So when you don't have music in your ear and they call you up and you got to step up to the mat, what is going through your head, or what's the process trying to stay focused, I guess? What do you do, Stony Buell?
I, you know, a lot of deep breaths. I like kind of really like to be grounded and, you know, kind of just reminding myself that I'm grateful for this opportunity and, you know, this is an honor, and kind of just to, you know, what would the little 5-year-old kid that sees you doing this right now, like, what would he want to see watching you? So just trying to exhaust the scoreboard and, you know, just go out there and have fun, really, is kind of how I remind myself. And I think sometimes I put pressure on myself, and then I just realize, like, why, you know, you have nothing to lose. Just go out there and have fun, you know, because no one's going to be ashamed or disappointed in you if you go out there and fight. And, you know, if you come up short, you come up short, you know, it's life, you know, you're not going to win every battle. So just making sure I'm being the best version of myself and remind myself this is supposed to be fun. You need to enjoy this. And, you know, losing sucks. So obviously when you win, it's a little bit easier to have fun, but you need to make sure, like, if you do lose, you don't beat yourself up and stay beat up over it for a while. You know, you kind of, okay, where can I learn from this? Where, how can I make this not happen again? So, you know, always looking at it from the right perspective too.
Well, in 2 years, when my son's old enough to start wrestling, he's 3 right now, what type of advice would you give a kid that's brand new to the sport? You know, if they don't really know anything about it, they're interested, they like contact, obviously, they have the ability in theory, but what's a good way to basically frame this to a new participant?
I mean, obviously just to have fun, be safe. And I think a big thing is just let it fly. Okay. I feel like a lot of kids, when they start off, like, they're so, I have to be perfect, or like, it has to be a perfect setup. And I think a lot of times when I would coach younger kids or anything, like, yeah, you have the double leg, they only know 3 moves, but they want it to be so perfect. You know, I would just tell them, go out there, make mistakes, just let it fly, just wrestle. And if you wrestle through enough positions, I have no doubt that you'll win. So that's kind of my biggest takeaway, is just let it fly.
And I guess same type of a question, but what if a kid is, you know, 4th, 5th grade, they really haven't hit that big growth spurt, you know, but they're not really finding success in a sport that they love. And, you know, they're finding more time getting pinned. You know, they want to hang in there. They want to be tough, but they need a little bit of something. They need Stony to give them some advice. What is that?
You know, sometimes you just got to put your head down and work. And I think a lot of people kind of get that negative doubt creeping in the back of their head, and you just got to keep trusting it. You know, last year was kind of a real down year for me. And, you know, I was kind of putting my head down thinking, but I kind of lost trust in the process and, you know, getting better. And it was almost like I just wanted to see these results, but you kind of got to understand that, you know, your work ethic and everything you're doing behind the scenes gets you to those results. So kind of keep trusting it. And I feel like the biggest thing too is kids are nowadays are so afraid to ask questions because they just don't want to be embarrassed. And, you know, I feel like you look at some of the best athletes and they ask the most questions because they want to perfect their art and everything. So I feel like just asking questions, getting the most out of every little workout you possibly can. And, you know, just maybe if you are losing a bunch, okay, what do I have to do more? Like, what can I do after practice that I know the person I just lost to isn't going to do? And, you know, then that just might be a little mental edge that you're knowing, okay, I know he didn't do 100 pushups after practice. I know he didn't stay after practice and do 20 more reps, and kind of just getting that little mental edge that might be a placebo effect that you feel like you're doing more, but it also can be a huge aspect because maybe the kid you're going to wrestle isn't doing that. And then you're already getting that edge over him.
Yeah.
No, it seems like you're turning kind of the failures into motivation. Is that kind of how you look at failure? Because a lot of kids these days, they fail and quit. You know, they don't have that drive to push forward and persevere through the failures. So how do you kind of deal with failure?
Yeah, you know, when I look at failure and fail, I see first attempt and learning. And I think a lot of it comes from being like a dairy farmer. I mean, if I have a cow giving birth and I can't get it on the first try, I can't quit. You know, that's two lives that I'm risking there. I feel like just how I was raised as a kid, you know, if a baler broke or a baling hay or straw and I wanted to quit, you know, that's just not how it worked. Then you don't quit till it gets done. And then you just look at it from the sports aspect, you know, I feel like being able to lose and, you know, it just shows you, you have growth, you know, there's somebody better than you to go out there, you know, and they say it's lonely at the top, but that's the most true statement there is, because, you know, if you're the best of the best, you know, you have no room to grow. There's nothing to change. So I feel like when you look at failure and losing, you know, you just know, okay, I can get better at this. And then it's a new aspect. You get to learn. I feel like learning is so much fun. And then, you know, things start to click and then you get those wins and then there's going to be the new problem that you get to solve. So I think almost just playing it as the game it is and kind of, you know, figuring out, okay, this is where I went wrong. I can do this, and having the conversations with coaches and teammates and playing around with things and, you know, even failing in the room. Okay, we know this ain't going to work. But I feel like the biggest problem too is just kids are afraid to fail. They're afraid their coach is going to yell at them. Their parents are going to yell at them. You know, yeah, but if, like I said earlier, if you're given 100% fight and you just make a mistake that costs you the match, you know, it's life. You know, you made one mistake, we'll get them next time. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just not being afraid to fail and then knowing you can grow from that and learn.
Do you have any mentors or anybody that kind of helped you get through some of this? And because you got a great perspective and outlook.
Yeah, I mean, obviously my mom and dad, I've talked to them a lot and had a great conversations with them, and they're always keeping me to keep my head on straight. And then Joey Blaze. So obviously I started my wrestling career with him. He has a crazy good outlook on the sport. And there's been a lot of times we've just had one-on-one conversations because he's my roommate for 2 years, and, you know, sitting down over coffee or breakfast and just kind of going up and down the lineup about guys or just kind of talking about the sport. And then also just countless hours we've been in the room, just us, you know, playing in positions. Oh, we should do this. And, you know, hotel rooms on trips, talking about matches we just wrestled. So I would say he's been a real good. And then, you know, just looking up MMA fighters, just kind of talking about their attributes and how they go into fights and everything. And no one really specific there, but I would say Joey Blaze. And also just like recently, and then obviously just my dad growing up, kind of leading through example on the farm. And then also just always being there for me and somebody I could talk to after matches, you know, right away. So
were your folks, were they athletes?
My dad was 5'6" basketball player.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah, so he wasn't a big fan of wrestling at all. And then my mom, she played volleyball, track. She was a real good athlete from, I mean, it's all what she says, but I believe her. And then my sister was a superstar softball player.
Oh, but, okay, cool.
I kind of took my dad's expectations of athletes a little bit higher from what he just said. But
yeah.
Do you have any fighters or wrestlers, MMA or wherever, that you look up to or you really respect?
I mean, I really respected Conor McGregor when he was wanting to get better and kind of at the prime. He kind of just took the fame and I think money got to him. But I really like Ilia Topuria. He's kind of a rising star. And then also, George St. Pierre, gosh, so it's hard. Kind of seeing his training regimen and everything he's done. So a lot of the old guys, but I'd say my favorite fighter right now is Ilia Topuria and kind of his outlook and the things he does. And, you know, kind of back to the recovery thing. I mean, he built a $2.5 million house just for recovery, but kind of the way he looks at it. And I really like his mindset and his fighting style and everything.
Yeah. That's really interesting. No, I think it's going to be a fun wrap of the season. You know, we're looking forward, you know, Big Ten is, you know, really the conference. I know Big 12's got some sharp schools too. You know, outside of the Big Ten and the Big 12, what are some of the other top programs that are on your radar?
The ACC, you know, they have a couple hammers, you know, the NC State, UNC, yeah. Virginia, Stanford's now in there, and then Pac-12, okay. Arizona State's, you know, real solid. And you know, there's some MAC schools like Central Michigan. I have a lot of high school buddies that ended up going there. So you know, there's teams everywhere, and I feel like it's end of the day, it's, you know, you make the tournament and you can make some noise. You know, I always kind of compare it to March Madness. You know, St. Peter's, you know, Ferris, FDU beating Purdue when I was here, actually.
Okay.
You know, it's just those things where anything can happen in those brackets and the Cinderella stories. So but yeah, I would say the Big 12 and Big 10. I think we're definitely the SEC of wrestling. But
yeah. Well, or the Big 10 of wrestling now. I think the Big 10 schools are dominating football too.
That's true too.
In my opinion, basketball. But again, I'm not really paying too much of attention. You guys must get some media training at Purdue. It seems like anybody I've ever talked to that was a student athlete out of West Lafayette, they must do something because, man, you're great on the microphone, Stoney.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, no, before we let you go, I guess, do you have any socials you want to plug or any other sponsors that are a part of your brand?
I mean, I'll just give a shout out to Purdue Wrestling and the Boilermaker Regional Training Center. And then I guess I already gave Joey Blaze a shout out, but Blaze Apparel, I'm a Blaze Pro athlete. I'll give him a shout out. And then C4 Energy, best energy, third-party tested, kind of keeps me on my feet when I'm wrestling, when I'm farming, so doing everything. But yeah, thank you guys for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, well, Stoney, we'll definitely keep you posted. And then once we get through the season, or maybe even before you win the national championship, we'll get you back on and we'll talk in between and just kind of see where your head's at and how you're feeling. So
perfect. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Well, hey, and I'll just wrap it up here, Stoney. You can stay on with us. But, you know, Scott, do you have any other things to wrap or any points to mention today?
No, just it's great to hear your perspective on life. You know, like you have such this gracious, optimistic, you know, every failure is a lesson. You know, they just, you don't hear that very often from younger folks.
Yeah.
So yeah, just thanks for coming on and sharing your story and your perspective. I think people can get a lot out of what you're saying. You're going to make a great coach and mentor. That's for sure, man. I'm glad you're choosing that route to give back.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't tell with the AirPods. Do you have cauliflower ear, Stoney?
Oh yeah, you probably can see. I was trying to push. I keep pushing them in.
There, yeah, I was wondering. Yeah,
falling out a lot. That's why I kept pushing them in. Because
And the world's going to be very grateful for that because at least if somebody steps to you in public and they see that, they're going to either get really wise really quick or they're going to learn a hell of a lesson. And you know, something my dad always told me, because you never get into a fight with a wrestler. So and you guys just move different, man. So you know, hats off to you. But again, like Scott said. I mean, we've had some communication, man, but I'm so impressed, you know, your whole outlook, your mentality. And I think being able to give back and keeping these young kids, you know, engaged in a sport that you love. I mean, you lead by example, man, and hats off to you and your brand. But, you know, I guess we'll leave it there for now, but we'll check back in with you soon, Stoney. And again, if anybody has not subscribed, or at least the big thing is for me is click that notification button. I never know when we're going live. We're just playing the game and we're doing it. But make sure you do all that and above and leave some comments. We get some great views. But for everybody that was here today, Marissa Porsche, heck of a farm girl, farm athlete in her own right, doing her thing at Fort Hays State. And now we've got another reason to pay attention to Purdue, one of the Big Ten's best in Stony Buell. Stony, thanks again. And for Scott Anderson, I'm Zach Bosley. This is Tractor Tuesday. We'll see you next time when we're live. Till the soil